Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are. My name is Davey Naylor, and I am the producer and touring manager for the Reduced Shakespeare Company UK. Over the last 12 weeks, we have been touring the breadth and depth of this great, big, wet, soggy, sometimes sunny land, doing the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised. We have one date left at the Ludlow Arts Festival before we take up residency at the Leicester Square Theatre in London's West End on the 16th of July. Thank you very much. But before that, I think it's a good time for us to regale you with tales, highlights, lowlights, distinctly average to middling lights of our tour so far.
Good morning, good afternoon. Davey's already said this. Anyway, thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 344, UK Tour Update. Our UK tour of the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised, returns to London next week, and this time we're playing at a new venue, not the Criterion in Piccadilly Circus, despite the music you're hearing, where we played for just over 9 years, nor the Arts Theatre, where we ran for 6 weeks in the summer of 2013 and for 50 weeks in 1992-93. No, this time, starting next week on July 16th, 2013, we're performing for 4 weeks at the Leicester Square Theatre, great comedy venue literally steps away, just immediately north of Leicester Square. A couple of weeks ago, on the last day of our 12-week spring tour, UK producer Davey Naylor sat down inside trusty touring van Titus Vandronicus with actors Gary Fannin, Matt Pearson, Ben Stratton, DSM Penny Ailes, and via Skype Matt Rippey to talk about how quickly the 12 weeks seem to have gone and also about some of their favorite venues.
First of all, the tour, we were told we were doing a 12-week tour. There was a part of me that thought, well, that's short compared to a lot of the UK tours, which tend to be the better part of a year. And I thought, well, it's short. But then when I started thinking about it, I thought, 12 weeks, that's a long time.
From one night to another, rather than a week, which exactly. Is most year tours.
Exactly. Yeah. And with this tour, that has been almost all one-night stands. But it's gone. Thank you, Rippy, for that little commentary. but it's gone really quickly. I have to say, it's I can't believe we're finally on our last venue.
It's one of those things. It's kind of time playing tricks on us because it feels like in one way it feels like it's gone really quickly. And it's like, whoa, is it over already? But then when I think back to when we were rehearsing and when we were doing the show in York, it feels like ages ago.
It does feel like a really long time ago.
Yeah.
What's your favorite venue?
Ooh. Venue.
It's a tough one. We had a crazy week.
Hard.
The past week has been absolutely crazy. Mm. I mean, we just went from one amazing venue to another.
Yeah.
The audiences just got better and better and better.
To be fair, I think we got better and better, did we not?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Definitely. I think these past 2 or 3 weeks, we've had rocking audiences. And I'm sure that's because we finally got into our groove as well.
Yeah.
Not even just as individuals, but as a group.
Yeah.
You know, knowing where we can play with each other and where, you know, getting the rhythms right and the pacing.
And it only took us 11 weeks.
Exactly, yeah.
So,
yeah.
So that's good.
Well, and to be fair, no offense to our southern listeners, but there's one thing all these recent dates have in common.
Mm.
They're north of the border.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all up north, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, we put Yorkshire audiences and Scottish audiences.
And in fact, one of our best audiences was in Barnsley,
near
Leeds, for those of you who don't really know where that is, North England. And the audience was raucous.
Absolutely raucous. It reminded me of Exeter, actually. That was also very raucous.
Well, I was just going to mention Exeter because that's one of my favourite cities anyway, but it's my favourite venue simply because of the way the auditorium is laid out, and therefore you are right on top of the audience. In fact, actually, all the campus, Exeter was on the University of Exeter campus, and the other ones that we played, Aberystwyth, and Stirling, which we played earlier this week, have all been fantastic, full, sold-out performances. Not with students so much, but they just seem to be lovely places, lovely crowds, and great shows.
And
Exeter, the performance at Exeter stands out because, well, two things. One was the fantastic Weatherspoons, which was designed by Brunel, we discovered. And then also, do you remember the slow clap during the we're not going to do To Be or Not to Be?
Oh, yeah.
And it went on for so long, and we were like, we need to carry on with the show, guys. And they just kept
they
like...
They even shouted at the end of the show. They said, do To Be or Not to Be.
We want to go to the pub. Ranting. It's like, oh, yeah.
I think Great Yarmouth stands out as well. Great Yarmouth was the first day on tour I realized that the concept of summer actually does exist in this country.
That's right. That was a lovely day on the pier. We did. Yeah, Matt Rippey and I sat on the pier. I got quite sunburned, but I was off that night, so I was really
well. To misquote John Cleese, we do have summer here. It's just called Tuesday. Any other favorite venues, shows?
Nottingham for me was amazing. It was this huge house.
Oh, 700 sold out.
It was a really, really special night. We met Shai, who was on the has come to see us a few times since.
Yeah, some great members, and she's great.
And it was just a really special night.
Completely. Hi, Shai.
Hi, Shai.
Yeah, what a great night. That's where we met someone who's become a friend of the company and a follower, and quite extraordinary. And I think helps illustrate the power of live performance and kind of gives us a reason to do what we do. Mm-hmm. Because she came up after the show just to say that, like many people, and like myself included, suffer from depression, and she just wanted to say, you know, for a couple of hours I forgot about the woes of the world, and so she wanted to say thank you, and that kind of makes it all worth
amazing.
It doesn't
it's absolutely amazing.
And she's not you know, we do have quite a few people who do that, who come up and say, you know, I was in a terrible mood or something was going on, and you just made me forget about it and you made me laugh for a couple of hours, so you know, what what's better than
what
that?
More can you ask for?
Okay, changing the subject, how about standout moments of the tour? Not just in the show or places, but I mean, weird things that have happened, maybe.
How about Matt getting chased out of the auditorium?
Yeah, exactly. By an audience.
Oh, yes. Okay, explain this. Explain what happened.
That's never happened before. So, yeah, the end of the first act when my character...
We were in Barrow Inferno.
Barrow Inferno, yeah. Inferno. And I didn't want to do Hamlet, so I got upset like I always do, and I started to run out of the auditorium. But before that, I'd gone and sat on this lady's knee just to say, you know, keep me with you. I want to watch it with you. I don't want to do Hamlet. And then when finally they forced me to do Hamlet, I say, I'm not going to do it. I run out of the auditorium, and I was halfway up the stairs to the door, and I turned around to do another joke, and this woman was just running towards
his face was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
Absolutely terrifying. So I just turned on my heels and ran out of there. Yeah. And if I can say this on the podcast, her bosoms were like all over the place, so it was absolutely
mine of their own.
I just had to get out of there.
I did everything I could to catch up with her and stop her, but she was gone. She was gone.
She was after. Yeah. She was great. I mean, she was so funny and she just got caught up in the moment and wanted to get involved. Yeah. And
one of my favorite moments, and I hope that I share it with my fellow band members of Dumb Show, our 2 a.m. performance at a gas station in the middle of nowhere.
Our first gig.
I'll tell you where it was. It was
Matty P, how did that come about?
Well, I was buying a sandwich or something, and I pulled my change out of my pocket, and I had a plectrum in my pocket. And the guy behind the counter says, oh, yeah, you can always tell when a customer is cool when he's got a plectrum in his pocket. And I was like, well, I'm not
a plectrum,
cool.
Sorry, a plectrum for a U.S.
A guitar pick.
And so yeah, I said, you know, I'm not cool at all, but thank you for noticing. And
he's really not.
and they said, like, you know, do you want to, like, are you in band or something? I said, no, we're actors, but we play together sometimes. You got our guitars with us on tour, and we play together. And they said, oh, you should come back and do a show for us here in the gas station.
Now, let me just preface this a little bit. Now, this is a, what they call a motorway side services here, which is like in America, you got like these, you know, these gas stations along the side of the road. Yeah. And quite often there's a motel next to it. It's very similar here. We were staying in a travel lodge, which is basically
Oakhampton.
Motel 6.
In Oakhampton, okay. Yeah. And there was this little gas station with a little convenience store attached to it. And this is where we were. And it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And of course, I was actually in my hotel room, and I was like getting ready for bed, and I hear a, you know, a knock at my door, and they said, "Come on, get your guitar. We're playing."
We need the band keys. We need to go get
because these guys said, "Oh, you should go and play." And we were like, "Oh yeah, you're like that's gonna happen." And I left, and then I thought, "No, that's it. That's our that's our first gig. That's a commission right there."
Yeah.
So I got the guys together, and we went down and played.
So the entire company, including Davey and Penny, we pour into this gas station and into this convenience store. And luckily, well, I don't know. I wanted there to be customers, but there weren't.
No.
It was just the two people working behind the counter. And we played two songs, and Davey and Penny videoed it as well.
And then one on the forecourt.
And then we played a little Pink Floyd on the forecourt.
Yeah, next to
we did our country music version of Another Brick in the Wall by Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
Video to follow, I hope.
Yeah,
Need a bit of editing before.
Education.
That was indeed a very good. I actually, talking of the band, I think my personal highlight of that was the ferry back from the Isle of Wight.
Yes, that was awesome.
I say that was our first gig. Actually,
we
did a gig on the Isle of Wight ferry as well.
Yeah. Again, it was late at night. We were heading back after doing a show in Shanklin on the Isle of Wight. Caught the ferry back. It was about
an hour long ferry, so with nothing to do.
And again, there weren't very many people. And so, I mean, we put ourselves in a corner, so we weren't, you know, disturbing anybody.
And we were entertaining the staff. So
yeah, we were. The staff seemed to really enjoy it.
One of my favorite things about touring with you guys is part of our warm up seems to be arriving early so that we can go into the dressing room, tune up our instruments, and just start practicing songs. We kind of agreed that everyone would bring two songs, teach each other, and then just start learning, and then one day busk in front of the theater, put out a hat, and try to make some real money.
Yeah. Davey's our manager, so don't mess with him, okay?
I've got a cricket bat,
And Penny's been doing backup
dumb
vocals.
Dumb show coming soon.
Dumb show.
Control forward near you.
Hey, I'm Reed Diamond, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company's podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Well, London, of course, starting next week at the Leicester Square Theatre. But then next month in August, we're bringing the Bible to Australia for 6 weeks. And then this fall, bringing Shakespeare Books Christmas and the new show, The Complete History of Comedy Abridged, to the UK, US, Singapore, Hong Kong, and the Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
This happens all the time with Reduced. Even when we think on stage, this is not going well, they're not enjoying it, this is terrible, terrible. As soon as we talk to the people afterwards, we're always amazed.
Yeah,
because they always come
out. It was so funny.
Loving it.
Haven't laughed
hands,
so much.
When are you bringing the Bible? In stitches,
But you know, even those ones that where it feels like it's not going that well, I can count, you know, on one hand those shows. Like it's just been a great tour. We've had so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so favorite stage that you played upon? Like favorite layout or favorite... I think for me it might be Kendall, because it was the first time I had played a stage where the audience was on the same level as the stage, so that they went up from you and you could just reach out and grab them.
And it was
sold out. Wonderful. I think that might be one of my favorites.
I think every time we've been in that kind of theater, where it's like an amphitheater, the audience it's always worked. It always seems to work well in that kind of
because they're
of
on
space.
Your level. There is literally no divide.
There's no barrier. I mean, that's one of the challenging things, you know, if we want to sort of talk about what the challenges have been, is when we do have a venue where there is a barrier, where there is a 15-foot gap
or gulf
between us. We had one theater where it was sort of, it felt like a very, like a civic-type center of a space, and they had the first three rows, and then there was like a barrier behind those with a walkway, and then the rest of the audience is going up in a raised bleacher seating sort of thing. Yeah. But the theater didn't sell any of the first three rows. So not only were the first three rows empty, there was also that walkway with the barrier behind that, and then the rest of the audience.
So
audience
the front row
was
like 30 feet away.
It was like
a stage, another stage area, and then the audience, and they were just miles away.
Yeah, and that makes...
And this is kind of a hazard with touring around the UK, something that we never see in the States, is that so many of these theaters come from an era where the stage is like 8 feet high,
right.
And then the audience learns, and the box office even tells them, oh, the first 10 rows are not very good, you want to be in the back section. And yet we, as the Reduced Shakespeare Company, we want everyone on stage with us.
Yeah,
yeah.
We want them within spitting distance.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, because our show, you know, we say this all the time, you know, we don't have a fourth wall. You know, most of these theaters are designed for shows where we pretend the audience isn't there. And
one of the challenges, one of the really exciting things that I found about this tour is adapting the show to whatever space we come across. So, quite often we have to spend like half an hour before the show saying, okay, there are no wings in this theater, so we need to figure out a way of adjusting it.
Mm.
And it's really good fun.
And the show's so adaptable, it's so easy to figure that out. I think it was at the university down in Canterbury where it was like a thrust stage.
Yeah, on three sides.
And so one of the best shows.
Fantastic. And we only had the doorways. It was the only entrances we had were the doorways in the backdrop. So
I've been loving the little challenges for example, Bridport Electric Palace, which was absolutely gorgeous space to perform in, but the very very limited in equipment. I mean, it's a very small stage, and so basically we had to adapt the entire show. And there was a piano in the corner, a big Steinway piano in the corner stage
which
move.
Incorporate into the show.
We have to play around that. And for example, tomorrow night we're doing the Ludlow Arts Festival, which is in a big top. So, we've yet to see what happens there.
He means a tent, not a woman's shirt. Yeah.
Well, we must mention horrible woman in Travelodge in.
Oh God!
I won't say the actual place, but she was. Let's say the Lake District. Her name was Daphne, and she was very rude to us. Anyway, any final thoughts, guys?
Any
requests?
Any Ophelias?
We've had some good Ophelias.
There you go.
I won't say my.
David was too far away. She was nice, but
all
I think David
says
was
yellow
far.
Dress. You know who you are. Okay. call David.
Yes. My phone number is 077.
His wife's number is. No, what do you call super yummy? What's your nickname?
Oh yeah.
Super
super
right.
Yummy. Ben got called super super yummy by one of his Twitter fans.
I never let him forget it.
Yeah. No. it didn't cost me anything either. Really, it was about a fiver, I think, to get it a
compliment. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your service station memories via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a Twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Mr. Tambourine Man Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to archivist Al. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Reed Diamond, who's in Joss Whedon's outstanding film version of Much Ado About Nothing, which I finally saw last weekend. And to my mind, Reed makes the usually nothing role of Don Pedro one of the highlights of the film. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 344 1030 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
I'd just like to do two shout-outs. One to the crew at the Yeovil Octagon, who have set the record for the fastest get-out, beating Preston Charter Theatre way back 10 years ago. They did the get-out in 12 minutes, 34.7 seconds.
I hadn't even taken my
time. So well done, well done to them. And the second shout-out goes to lovely, lovely, lovely tour bus, Titus Vantronagus, which we're all sitting in right now.
Yay.
He has, he's taken us, we've done 63 shows in 59 venues over 90 days, and he has driven us 8,525 miles. So well done, Titus.
Yes.
And we're sitting in him now, doing this.
Davey Naylor, but you deserve a shout out for being the brainchild behind getting the Reduced Shakespeare Company back in the UK. So thanks to Davey Naylor and Newbury Productions.
Yes, absolutely.
Shucks.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.